good day. I'm Bobby Dooley. This is the Bobby Dooley Podcast, although I know, yes, Steve.
Yeah, I've got to bet you about Mr. Henry.
Yes, I know, Steve. This is a part of the Phil Henry Show, we know that, but I think instinctively, as well as, what's the word that you say when you want to say, that something...
Well, you're talking about...
Hold on, Steve. What's the word you use when you say that you want something to be, you want it to feel or to smell?
You want an atmosphere?
The what?
Atmosphere.
No, it's not that. Anyway, as part of the Phil Henry Show, this is the Bobby Dooley Podcast. I guess what I'm trying to say here, Steve, is that it would inform. That's it. Okay?
Oh, yeah, to inform it.
Yes, to inform it. Mm-hmm. To inform it. Well, speaking of being informed, we're going to be informed today here from the Western Estates Homeowners Association Community Center. This is our radio studio here. Steve was saying, well, how do people know that we're actually broadcasting or podcasting or whatever you say from the Western Estates Community Center?
Yeah, because it just sounds like you're in a room.
Right. And I was thinking, well, during the summer, we can open the door and you can hear the splashing of the pool.
I think that's a great idea.
Wouldn't that be fun? I think that'd be fun. You know, I remember last spring when we had our Easter Rising and then our Celebration of the Tribe, which is our Easter celebration, we went out onto our common area and we had a lot of the kids. We're doing, Steve calls it the oogaboo. I don't know what it's called, but it's part of our drumming.
Yeah, it's just called boo doo 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 woo 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 woo.
Well, that doesn't sound like anything, Steve. It sounds ridiculous.
No, what I mean, it's part of the I guess, the rehearsal.
Well, yes, it's part of the rehearsal for the Easter celebration of the tribal council, which a lot of people think that means something pagan and not believing in Godism. No, that's not it at all. How dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? I mean, we believe in God.
How dare you? We believe in God, but we're also very liberal, and we do afford people the opportunity to not believe in God, and we're also very conservative when it comes to our country. When, like, Reagan was president, and it was really good to be conservative, but we're also liberal, like when Clinton, and I still think Obama was and is president. And that's, as we used to say, the kids say chill, but we say cool.
Yeah, well, that's so chill.
Yeah, so we will say chill, that's right. So, I don't even know what, you were talking about the Ooga Booga.
Yeah, when we do the Springtacular.
That's it, the Springtacular, but it's also our Easter Rising.
Yeah, the Easter Rising is Springtacular, boo, 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 and it's like drumming and everything.
What happened to the drum we had in here?
Well, I took it out to the house. You wanted an end table.
Oh, that's right. We have a beautiful Madagascar drum. This is from Madagascar. Okay. There's a man that is the man that runs our mail center. He's a wonderful man. What's his name, Steve?
His name is like, it is Madagascar style. It's Bagudu or Bungdudu or something.
Don't be ridiculous, Steve.
I don't know the name. It's,
Well, what is it? Let me see. It's, yeah, it does. It's Goobaboo-boo. Yeah, we can't pronounce it, but he runs our mail center here, and he brought back from Madagascar, which is where he's from. He vacationed there, went back to see his family, right?
Yeah, he went back to see his mom and dad, and he come back with a bunch of the drums.
Yeah, he came back with the drums. So we bought one from him. He said, well, you know, Miss Dooley, I want you to have this. And I said, really? Thank you. He said, it actually did cost me, and I would charge you $60, but if you don't want to pay that. I said, oh, of course I'll pay you for it. I didn't pay him $60. I said, I'll give you $20. And he said, gee, that's not going to cover. And so we agreed on $22.50 for the drum.
Yeah, $22.50, including shipping.
Well, no, not shipping.
Oh, I'm sorry. He already had it.
He already had it here, yeah. So it's a great drum, and Steve plays it. We don't have it here, but give us an example, Steve, using your mouth, because we do mouth drums if we don't have the actual drums. What it sounds like?
Yeah, okay. Doing mouth drums, it goes boo-doo-doo-doo, boo-doo-doo, boo-boo, boo-doo-doo-doo, boo-doo.
You see how good Steve plays the drums? You've got great dexterity, Steve.
Thank you, honey. Well, it takes a lot of practice. Okay, I go boom, 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 boom.
Well, okay, you missed it. You missed a beat there.
Yeah, I go. It goes. I go. It goes, and I go with it. It goes boom, 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 boom.
Boy, you are good, and that is just very minimal practicing, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit of practicing, and not much.
Well, today Dexter Havens is going to join us. Dexter is a resident of Western Estates Homeowners Association. And not only is Dexter a resident of the Western Estates Homeowners Association, Dexter is also a Hollywood agent. Okay? He's a Hollywood agent and everything. And he is going to comment on the Sony hack. How many of you have heard about the Sony hack? I'm sure a lot of you don't know about it because you don't live in Hollywood. We do. We don't live exactly in Hollywood.
Yeah, well, who wants to live in Hollywood? It's a toilet.
It really is. It really is. Hollywood is wonderful, and we love to go down to Hollywood sometimes. You know, we take the boys, and we buy. They sell the freeway signs. They're fake, though.
Yeah, you can get free. You can get fake freeway signs, and you can get coffee mugs with Brad Pitt's face on it and everything.
Yeah, there's a lot of really nice souvenirs, and they also have the costume store there where we get a lot of our, Halloween costumes. But we don't like to go to Hollywood more than that because there's a lot of homelessness and the stink is very difficult to take. And we don't know, you know.
Well, they are saying that it's safer and they made a promenade.
Well, the Hollywood Boulevard promenade is nice. It comes down near the Kodak Theater, you know, which a lot of you have probably seen the Academy Oscar Awards. You know?
Yeah, that's the Academy Awards where they have the Oscar.
Yes. That's at the
Grauman's Chinese?
No, it's not Grauman's, Steve.
I'm sorry, Mann's.
No, they don't have it at that. At the Kodak Theater.
What?
Yes, Steve, they have it at the Kodak Theater. You don't know that?
They used to have it where Bob Hope was and everything.
Steve, how long have you been around here? I mean, my God, Bob Hope hasn't done it for years.
I know. Well, I know that, but I just don't. I thought they had it still at his house.
At his house? Oh, God. What adult you are. No, they have at Bob Hope's house?
I don't know. What fees?
Well, they have the Academy Awards now at the Kodak Theater and the Hollywood Promenade, okay, which I've taken friends from out of town. When Steve's mother comes to town, she always goes, oh, Bobby, oh, Bobby.
Yeah, my mother's funny.
She goes, oh, Bobby, would you take us down to the man's Chinese so we can see the Chinese theater and where they put people's feet? And I said, oh, you mean the footprints in the cement? She goes, yes, didn't they warn them not to step in it? Ha, ha. And I go, you're kidding me, Grelda Dean. And she says, yes, I am.
Yeah, my mother's name is Grelda Dean, by the way.
Yeah, it's an unusual name. I love it. I love it. Grelda Dean is a Swiss name. Steve's family is Swiss, and it's another, and Liechtensteinian. Isn't that right?
No, Bob, it's Luxembourg, I told you.
All right, well, why are you getting upset?
Because Liechtenstein and Luxembourg have a very vicious and long-standing hatred of each other. They're it's little tiny countries, and they're vying for not the tininess of it, but...
Well, Steve, that's right. Liechtenstein and Luxembourg are two of the smallest countries in the world. They both are in Europe, and as the result of them being small and sort of up in each other's faces, not really, I mean, they're so small, I don't think they border each other, do they?
No, they do not. My family was a long-standing family in the Luxembourg community, and then they went Swiss.
Right. Steve's family was Luxembourgian, and then went Swiss. So you're Swiss blood and...
Yeah, I'm Swiss blood and Luxembourg and Luxembourgian and Swissian.
And Swissian. Are you sure it's called Swissian?
I think it's either that or it's Swish.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it is. It's Swish. So Steve is Luxembourgian and Swiss, and he is very proud of those roots. His mother, Grelda Dean, has the Luxembourgian name. Oh my God, that's the new movie. That's the interview.
No. That's The Wedding Ringer.
Oh, thank God. Oh, I'm feeling my heart racing. I thought for a minute they were actually going to release The Interview. They can't release that film. It is a dirty, filthy, disgusting, and despicable insult to the North Korean people. All right, without any further ado, let's bring on Dexter Havens. Dexter's a dear friend. He is a resident of our Bougainvillea phase, and he joins us now on our newsmaker line from just about a block away at his house there in the Bougainvillea phase. Good morning, Dexter. How are you?
Hey, good morning, and Bobby and Steve and everyone. Good morning.
Dexter, did you sleep well? Because we had some construction.
I did sleep very good. There was a little bit of the construction this morning. They were doing some... I wanted to ask, did you get the present that I gave Steve on his birthday?
Did you get a present, Steve?
Yeah. Thank you, sir, very much. I appreciate that.
It was the tie clip, right?
It was the Luxembourgian and Swiss, or whatever you guys want to call it, tie clip that I got. And I bought that on my travels in Europe on behalf of one of my clients, and I just wanted to make sure that you got that.
Thank you very much, sir. I've never seen a Swissian tie clip. You're the best person.
Well, thanks, Steve. You know, you've been a great friend of mine. You have been there when I've needed you. Steve is the one of the best handymen I've ever had. No, he's not the handyman. I know that he is.
Well, Steve is my husband, and Steve is a landscaper. He's got a wildly successful landscaping business. He's no one's handyman.
No, I know that. But I wanted to thank you very much, Steve, for coming around and taking care of things at my house, especially when I was gone.
Now, you were in Europe with one of your clients.
Yes, I was. I was in Europe with a young actor who I think is going to be a real sensation next year, doing a movie now called The Chap. And it's about a guy, an American, who becomes British and becomes a chap, and all of the adventures that he await him there where they have chaps. That's England. So we were actually in England filming. We did pre-production in England, and then we shot the movie in England, and then we did post-production. I guess we were always in England. We never went anywhere else. And it's going to be an exciting film.
What is the name of this actor?
Oh, the actor. I forgot. The name of the movie is The Chap. The actor is Bradu Fanelda. And
What is this name again?
Well, I'm making it up. His actual name is Larry Anderson. But we're trying to, and I'm sorry, Larry, I'm blowing all of this out on the air right now, but it's a podcast that Bobby Dooley is doing, and I don't think it's really going to be listened to by anybody. So I think we're...
Well, excuse me for just one moment there, Dexter. Excuse me.
Yeah, you're going to insult my wife?
I don't mean to insult anyone. What I'm saying is that the likelihood that Larry, that I'm going to be bothered by someone after this show, that, oh, I heard that Larry Anderson, that's his real name, and you're just making up some phony name.
Well, the name that you've selected for him, Bradu Fondelak, is that it?
That's not bad. That's an actual...
But you haven't decided.
No, we have not decided on a name yet for Larry. Right now, it's just Larry Anderson.
Well, boy, why not just keep it Larry Anderson?
Why not keep it Larry Anderson? That's very good. Thank you very much, Steve. I'll write that down. Why not keep it?
Well, why not? I think what Steve is saying...
Now you're frightening me. You're serious?
Well, why wouldn't we... What do you mean we're serious?
Are you saying to me that you want me to keep the name Larry Anderson for this bright, wonderful young actor who I would much rather call... I'd like to call him Errol... Landau. What about that, Errol Landau?
That's fine, but Larry, I think Errol Landau sounds actually very sexy.
Because my name, Dexter Evans, I thought long and hard about that, and I finally stole it from a movie called High Society.
Well, why not steal this young man's name from High Society?
Now, that's not a bad idea. They've got a guy by the name of... I'd have to look it up to find out what name we could steal. But it doesn't matter right now. We're going to be releasing the film. He's going to be doing an awful lot of publicity for this movie. And we did return back to the United States here just about 3 weeks ago after a lot of post-production that we had to do. Actually, he didn't do anything, but they just asked us to hang around. And Larry was, he was interviewed. I'm just, if you'll pardon me for a minute, I'm looking up High Society to see if there's any kind of a name that we can get from that.
I'm speaking right now with Dexter, Dexter Haven. I'm sorry, Dexter Havens. Is it Haven or Havens?
I don't know. What do you think sounds better?
I like Dexter Havens.
Dexter Havens. All right. Dexter Havens it is.
All right. We're speaking here with Dexter Havens about, his new client?
Well, it's not a new client. I've had the kid for a long time.
All right. Well, about a client that you have.
Right.
And let me just see here. High Society. Okay, here we go. The names of the different characters in this film, Mike Connor, Tracy Lord, if you can believe. Are you ready for that? That's the name of Grace Kelly's...
Well, in the movie, yeah. Her name was Tracy Lord. And then that young woman took the name Tracy Lord, who was an adult film actress.
Are you kidding me? And the lady had it?
Well, Grace Kelly had it.
Yeah, but she's not a porn actress.
Steve, don't be a complete dummkopf. Are you kidding?
I'm sorry.
Grace Kelly was one of the most elegant actresses in the history of Hollywood, and you're saying, oh, was the lady?
Yeah, Steve, you're a wonderful guy, but you got to get up on your celebrities.
What about this? George Kitteridge. George Kitteridge.
I like that as a name for, you mean it's a name for my young actor?
Yes, George Kitteridge, or here's one here, Seth Lord.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the name of an actor in, or a character in High Society, Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong. That way, and that's a character in High Society?
Yes, I'm looking right at it here. It says Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, or no, actually it says Louis Armstrong.
I like that a lot. Louis Armstrong. That sounds strong, doesn't it? It's Louis Armstrong.
It sounds like an old-timey actor, but it also sounds like a new-timey actor. I know I'm not saying that good, but...
No, you're right. That is great, Bobby. Do you mind?
No, I mean it's right there in the DMDBB here. What does it say?
Carl, IDB.
IMDB. No, I know what you mean.
What is it again?
IMDB.
Yes, the IMDB.
Yeah, in High Society.
Yes, in the movie High Society, the character is Louis Armstrong.
All right, I'm going to write that down. I think that's a great name. You're right, Bobby. To the point that Louis Anderson or that Larry Anderson is the young man's name, and he said to me, "Why can't I use Larry Anderson?" I said, "You can use Larry Anderson if you want to work at a car wash." And he looked at me with the big eyes. I said, because that's what I'll do right now. I'll drive to a car wash and drop you off there, and I'll say, thanks a lot, Larry. And then I'll say, I'm going to be pulling around, by the way, to have my car washed, so you might want to get over and get your rags ready. Excuse me, I'm just...
Well, that's very cruel.
No, but you know what? A young man needs that kind of reminder.
No, you're basically threatening him to say, you're not going to handle him.
Say that again?
I said you're basically threatening him, saying you won't handle him.
No, that's right. I said I'm not going to handle a guy named Larry Anderson, so it ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. I said you could be the greatest actor in the world. You could be the second coming of Richard Burton and Laurence Olivier, and all of them rolled into one. You could give a performance like Robert De Niro in Raging Bull. You could give a performance like Tom Hanks in Philadelphia. You could give the performance of the ages, but if your name is Larry Anderson, I'm dropping you off at that Orange Julius shack right there. You go in, put on your paper hat, and get to the blender.
That's almost, my God, I'm taken aback by the power of that.
Yeah, that's kind of, Bobby and I both think it's cruel.
Well, I think it's cruel, but I also think there's a majesty to the power.
I cannot compromise. I can't compromise. So I said, Larry... And he said, well, what about Larry? And Larry is a very talented young man. He works very hard. He's done a lot of theater, and these actors seem to think that's important. I don't know why they did, but he said, I've done a lot of theater. And I said, oh, okay, what do you mean, swept them out or what? He said, no, I've acted on stage. I said, hey, you know, there's some money there. What, equity waiver? What do you get, a piece of the popcorn? I don't understand. He said, well, I've just done a lot of theater. I said, okay, fine, you've done a lot of theater, whatever. I said, and he said to me, you know, Shakespeare.
They always say they do Shakespeare.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Well, they've done a lot of plays that were written by William Shakespeare. And you say to them, that's nice. Has he written any movies? And that always gets them. That always gets them because they'll say, well, no. Okay, then shut up and let me be the brains of the operation, Shakespeare. Yes, I know William Shakespeare wrote a lot of plays, but we're talking about movies. I can't get through to these guys.
We're talking with Dexter Havens, the great Hollywood publicist and talent agent. And he's talking about a young man who he has just now christened Louis Armstrong. The young man's real name is Larry Anderson.
Well, let's not beat that into the ground. I know that your podcast is not listened to. Well, I don't know how many people listen to your podcast. Is this your podcast or Phil Hendry's?
This is Phil Hendry's.
Oh, well, then there might be more people listening. But so can we keep the mentioning of his real name at a minimum?
Well, I just want to give the background here.
All right, but then, you know.
No, I understand. The young man that is currently represented by Dexter Havens is Larry Anderson. Where's he from?
Larry's from Tulare.
From Tulare, California. And that's up in the...
Yeah, in the San Joaquin Valley. It's in the sticks. You can't get more hick and hillbilly than that. In the state of California, that's as hillbilly as it gets. Now, he could come from someplace in Mississippi or perhaps Michigan. You know that the most redneck place I was ever in my life was Michigan. Right up there, not in the state that we are familiar with, but there's a little piece of Michigan that is across the lake and just sits there against the border of Canada. And it's like nothing has touched that part of Michigan. So there are animals, wild animals there that they haven't been categorized yet. And
what are you talking about?
Yeah, Bobby, I read about this. It's the part of Michigan that's not that isn't with the other state.
What?
If you look at a map of Michigan, have you seen a map of Michigan?
Yes, I have, of course.
All right. Across the lake is another little piece of Michigan that's not connected to the rest of Michigan. Now, what happens when a piece of land like that is not connected to the rest of the land, it sort of develops independently. So the people up there are shorter, and the heads are it's hard to explain. I've been there. I went up there on a scouting location for a Tobe Hooper movie. He wanted to do his version of the Hills Have Eyes? I don't know. We can look that up. But he wanted to do a version of The Hills Have Eyes where he used the mayor and the city council and real respectable people from this town who happen to have these block-sized heads and you know.
So in other words, he wanted to use them as the creatures up in the hill?
Yeah, well, but they wouldn't be in the hills. They'd be in the town. And it was called The Town Has Eyes. So when you come into town, you don't see anybody, but you know there are people staring at you from the Chamber of Commerce. There's people staring at you from the pharmacy, but you never see them. They're there. And when they finally come out, it's just the regular people that live in this town.
Well, what do the people up there look like?
Well, like I said, it's separated from the rest of the state, so it grew independently. The evolutionary forces that shape this part of Michigan are different. And so the animals, they've got animals there. There's different species of animals.
Well, like what, for instance?
Well, you know how they have the platypus in Australia?
Well, now, the platypus, is that the one that lays eggs, Steve?
Yeah, it's like a big bear. It's like a big bad boo. It's like a bear. It's like a bear that lays eggs or something.
Right. It's a bear that lays eggs. That's a platypus.
God, that is weird.
Yeah. And that's because it's Australia, you know. And Australia is just weird.
Well, I've always felt that way. You know, I love Paul Hogan, and I love ABBA, and who else, Steve?
The Hobbit's from there, too.
Yes, not the Hobbit, but the man that made the Hobbit. I love all of Australia, but it is weird, isn't it?
It's very weird down there. Go down there, you'll spend 5 minutes, and you'll say, it's been great, it's been beautiful, I got to get back on the plane, and I got to get out of here, man. You know, I mean, that's how you... So when you go down there, you see that. Now, in this part of Michigan, same thing.
Well, do they have the platypus there?
Where?
In this part of Michigan.
No, they have other animals. They've got a bear there that's like, it's a regular bear, but it's a cross-eyed. They've got they got ducks there that have ears. And I don't know, but this is all.
They have ducks with ears. How about that, Steve?
God, that's so weird. I would love to take the boys there so they could get out of the car and look at it. You know, we usually don't let the boys out of the car for fear that something will come along and attack them.
Well, like a bear or something?
No, I mean anything. It could be human. It could be just another kid. But we never let the kids out of the car when we're just driving someplace.
We drive a lot. We take a lot of drives as a family, and we slow down and stare at people or things. And we never let the boys out because the people will say, whoa, you were staring at us? Well, now we're going to get you, and now we're going to get you.
Oh, that's very wise indeed. But in this part of Michigan, like I said, well, you know, the...
So the ducks have ears and the bears are cross-eyed, this kind of thing.
Yeah. And this is what happens with the evolutionary forces that shape our world.
You know that I hear Phil Hendry talk a lot about the evolutions and the history. It's really, really fascinating, Steve, you know?
Yeah, it really is. I wish I knew more about it and everything, but God, man, that's wild.
Well, anyway, that is... Well, I don't know how I got on that topic, but... that's where he could have been from, my client, this young man that we just named Louis Armstrong.
By the way, we are with here Dexter Havens, and the reason why we named him Louis Armstrong, this young client of Dexter's named Larry Anderson, is we were just going along the list of characters from the film High Society, and Dexter, that's where you got your name.
Yes.
What is your real name?
Well, my real name, this is gonna be a tough one. My real name is Bart. Now, are you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Slabadabba.
What is that again?
Bart Slabadabba.
No, how do you, that's like Yabba Dabba Doo.
Well, that's why I changed it. That's why I changed it, because people would say, here comes Slabadabba Doo, and you would not believe the number of guys that I knocked out cold. I actually stopped counting at 23, and a friend of mine actually would keep a ledger on the side of his car. He'd take out a switchblade knife and just carve it right into the paint.
Carve what into the paint?
Talk about the guys he knocked out.
So you would punch out guys? Oh, God. Dexter, that is very, very unhealthy and very uncivilized.
Well, I was younger then. You try it. Don't you say that you don't like people calling you Booby Dooley?
That is true, honey. You don't like the booby.
What do you mean I don't like? Why am I on the phone with you? I don't know, but it feels good. Oh, my God, you touched my breast. I'm only kidding. Excuse me.
Why would they? What do you mean the booby?
That's what they call you. You don't like them calling you booby.
You don't, do you?
No, I don't. I don't really like that. But okay, so they called you Slabadabadoo.
Right, and...
Now, how do you spell that?
That Slabadabba is spelled K-L-K-A-A-Y. Slabadabba.
K-L-K-A-A-Y.
Yeah.
Okay, Slabadabba.
That's a hard one.
It really is. It's very hard.
Say that again.
K-L-K-A-A-Y. Slabadabba.
And is it's pronounced differently, obviously, from the letters?
Yeah, it's pronounced differently from the letters because it is a Latvian. It's Chechnyan. It's a we're all mongrelized, Bobby, as you know.
Yes, we are, and that's what makes the world beautiful—the fact that we're all clustered together. You know.
Yeah, we're clustered together, and a lot of times, as my son says, you know, well, I know we're clustered together, Dad, but did it have to be such a cluster? F, you know.
Well, that's the way boys are, aren't they? Listen, Dexter, hang on, okay? I want you to hang on.
All right.
And my special guest here is Dexter Havens, and Dexter is going to be talking with us more about the... he's going to be talking with us more here about the Sony hack, Steve, which has really turned Hollywood upside down.
Really has, isn't it? And the Sony hack... I mean, when you think about the stuff that's gone on and the things that have happened and everything, you worry, you know, that maybe it'll happen some more or maybe not. I don't know. I don't know anything about Hollywood.
Well, all right, we're going to take a very quick break, and we'll be back here on The Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Hendry here. Mm-hmm. The Bobby Dooley Podcast.
This is The Bobby Dooley Podcast from the Western Estates Homeowners Association.
The Bobby Dooley Podcast is brought to you in part by Hemerides. Hemerides, getting your hair done and reading books can be a very good thing. You know, when you have your hair done and it sits under that dryer, or maybe you're using chemicals to straighten it out or to curl it up, your mind can dry up. You need to keep reading books and magazines and newspapers to make sure that your already empty brain doesn't get any emptier. Hemerides Hair Salon and Books. And by
Newton's Rolling Papers. When I need to roll one up fast, I go to Newton's. You think I'm a high school student? Get the fuck out, man. I'm a dentist.
And now back to more of the Bobby Dooley Podcast.
Thank you so much, Gene Wiffner. Rick Wiffner is our engineer. We have a real family operation here. Dexter Havens is my special guest. Dexter is a Hollywood agent. And we've got a real family operation, I was saying, Dexter. And I know that your son is also working with you. Is that right? Oh, I got the wrong. Is that right, Dexter?
Yes, my son, Harry Havens. Actually, my son's, my last name, my real last name is Balls. And his mother thought it would be funny to name him Harry, and I didn't think it was funny at all. But now that my name is Dexter Havens, most people think his name is Harry Havens. And so it's, and he, it took to calling himself Hank. He was beaten rather severely, probably at least twice a week, because originally went to school with this name, Harry Balls.
Oh, my God. Why saddle a kid like that?
Because my wife at the time, his mother, thought it was a real riot. She was a sadist. So I divorced her. I changed his last name to Haven. Somebody had said to me, well, why don't you just change the first name? And I said, you know, that's a good idea, but you're butting into matters that don't concern you.
You know something? That I'm so glad you brought that up. So many people like to butt in. And I find it to be wrong. You know, they're all, oh, why don't you do this and why don't you do that, you know?
Yes, and I said, it's none of your beeswax. I'll call him what I want. And they said, well, we're just trying to help. So his name was Harry Balls, and not Harold, no. The name was...
Well, why didn't you say it when she named him? Why didn't you say something?
Well, because I wasn't at the hospital, and when I finally got there, I was arrested on my way to, this is not anything that's pretty, I was arrested on the way to the hospital the night that my son was born for drunk driving. I was taken into custody, I was remanded to, basically taken into custody, I was put in jail overnight, because they would not release me on my own recognizance. They did post a, I think it was about $1,000 bond, and I didn't have the money.
What did you? Who could you call? Did you have a lawyer?
I did. I did have a lawyer, and there were a lot of people I knew, but no one wanted to go my bail. They just said, "Do you have any kind of collateral?" And I said, "No." And they said, "Well, you know, have a good time. We'll pick you up right after they serve you those runny, lukewarm scrambled eggs. How do you feel about that?" And I said, "Jesus, you know, you really know who your friends are." But anyway, I would have called my wife, but she was having the baby, and I did call finally when the sun came up, and I said, have you had the kid yet? And she said, no, where are you? I said, I'm in jail. I'm in jail. And she said, well, I haven't had the baby yet, but I will in a few minutes. And I said, where are you now? She said, they're wheeling me down to the operating room or wherever. And I said, well, what are you talking on? And she said, have you ever heard of a cell phone? And then I heard, you know, click.
Well, why didn't you know that? That's a pretty stupid, excuse me for saying, Dexter, kind of a stupid question.
Very stupid, very stupid. But I was, you know, not in my right mind. I was half beside myself, knowing my son was going to be born, and I couldn't be at his side. I couldn't be at the side of my wife as my son was being born. And I cursed everybody that came down the hallway to the cell. I called them every name in the book. I said, why would you keep me from this? And they said, you got arrested for drunk driving, remember? And I said, what's that got to do with the price of tea in China?
Boy, that's so true, man. They always want to throw it up in your face, don't they?
Throw it up in your face. Did you get that? Throw it up in your face?
No, I didn't.
Throw up, as in throw up?
No, I...
Oh, then throw it up in your face. I get it.
Thank you, Steve. All right, look. Dexter, let's cut with all of the fun, the falderall, as Phil Henry would say. Let's get to this Sony hacking. I am absolutely I'm appalled by the Sony hacking situation, aren't you?
Well, we're all appalled. I don't know how this happened. The U.S. government has come out now and said that it was the Koreans. Okay, maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. I'm not willing to just... Listen, I've got business in this town. I email people, too, and I have on behalf of my clients. And the thought that someone has hacked into my client, into my email, especially any email that I sent to Sony... I'm pretty sure I can tell you that I will probably, if any of the email is made public that I've sent to Sony, I will have no choice but to step off of the edge of a very high bridge and head first.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not.
Well, what, is it that embarrassing?
No, it's not that embarrassing. It's pretty standard stuff. But for Hollywood, what is standard would make most adults sick to their stomachs. For Hollywood, what is standard and would not even be noticed by most people who work in Hollywood, for the average healthy adult, it would make you sick to your stomach. Do you understand? You wouldn't be able to keep food down.
Well, what? You can't give us an idea as to what's in it?
I mean, we'd have to find out, you know, to maybe we could help you.
You can't help me. What do you think you're going to do? You're going to help me? You're not going to help me. If any of my email that I have sent to clients or to Sony or any of producers, especially a guy like Rudin, who lulls you into thinking you can say anything, because Rudin's kind of a regular guy, and he just says, you know, hey, you know, stick it up your you-know-what and all this. And I say to him, hey, Scott, did you hear the one about the girl whose panties were this and that? We tell all kinds of filthy, foul jokes that, my God, I'm telling you, if anybody actually made public the emails that I've sent to some of those people, I wouldn't waste any time at all. I would say thank you very much. I'd go ahead and put my orders, put all of my paperwork away and get everything in order. I'd get up and I'd drive my car right into a brick wall right out of Village of the Damned. Now, that's a promise from me to you.
Well, I think that is very unhealthy thinking, and I think it's something that you need to reconsider. Nothing can be that bad.
Well, I mean, what are you talking about, somebody having panties on and everything?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not talking about someone. I'm talking about filthy jokes that skirt the line not just of taste, they skirt the line of criminality. They skirt the line of a degenerate criminality not seen in this country or in Europe for perhaps 400 or 500 years. We're talking about a criminality, a degenerate criminality and immorality that hasn't been seen in the civilized cities of the West for hundreds and hundreds of years. These are in my emails, so if someone made that public, I wouldn't have any choice. You can't say to me, well, at least you can choose. No, I've got no choice in the matter. I'd get into my car and drive it into a wall at a very high rate of speed, hoping, praying that some spark hits the gas tank and the whole thing becomes just a big ball of fire.
Are you crying?
Yeah.
We're talking, I'm sorry, Dexter. Dexter Havens is my guest.
You know, that Dexter, I think you're taking it way out of town or out of proportion.
No, I'm not taking it out of proportion, Steve. Do me a favor, will you, Steve? Just trust me on this, okay? There are certain things that I know about that you don't know about. If you wanted to tell me about landscaping...
Well, look, Dexter, I think what we want for you is the best. We want it the best for you, for your client, Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong.
I'm sorry, Louis Armstrong. For your son, Harry Balls, or...?
No, not Harry Balls. Shit.
He changed the name of his son to Hank Balls?
No, Evan, Dexter, what's my last name? Dexter, God damn it, Dexter, well, my last name, it doesn't matter, but my last name is my last, Dexter Havens, that's it. So his name is Harry Havens.
Right, and you could have just changed his first name.
I understand, but we didn't. So these are the right moves I've made in life.
All right, getting back to the Sony hack. So here is Amy Pascal and Scott Rudin and a number of other studio executives exchanging all of these emails. And they include things like Angelina Jolie. Oh, my God, I'm seeing this one. Angelina Jolie is a spoiled brat, no talent. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, that is the opinion of a lot of people in Hollywood, that Angelina Jolie is a no talent, spoiled, rotten brat. She couldn't direct, she couldn't direct traffic. And the fact that she took time out to direct this movie Unbroken when they had Cleopatra in a holding pattern trying to figure out who's going to direct what. Look, they've got Fincher lined up for this Jobs movie.
Yeah, well, that Stephen Jobs movie, they'd do that, you know.
Look, Steve, slow down, will you?
You gotta slow down, honey.
I'm sorry, the Stephen Jobs movie, they not even know do it?
Yeah, That's pretty rough, Steve.
I'm sorry, they didn't do the Stephen Jobs movie.
No, they did not do the Stephen Jobs movie. The reason why they didn't do the Stephen Jobs movie is they couldn't get... So anyway, they couldn't... I don't know what it was, but they couldn't get the director. That's it, David Fincher.
All right, you know what I want to do now is I want to bring on Margaret Gray. Margaret is an entertainment writer. She is oftentimes a contributor on, not just a contributor, she's a co-host of The Phil Hendry Show, and she might have some perspective here as a journalist, Dexter. Not that she's an agent, but as a journalist.
Well, I'm familiar with Ms. Gray, and I'll try and keep up with her. She's a very sharp lady. Yeah, right.
All right, so stand by, okay?
Yeah, I'm standing by.
All right, we're going to be right back. with Bobby, with Margaret Gray. We're talking here with our good friend Dexter Havens about the Sony hack and what is in store for this town as it tries to move forward. I'm Bobby Dooley. This is the Bobby Dooley Podcast.
It's the Bobby Dooley Podcast. What are you doing? Probably nothing. If you ain't cranking this, you're yanking that. That's for sure. The Bobby Dooley Podcast.
I am looking at some of my messages here. There's a message for Phil Hendry. What kind of car do you have? Oh, Lord.
Don't tell anybody what kind of car Mr. Henry have.
I'm not telling everybody what kind of car Mr. Henry has. Jesus.
Well.
So, welcome back here, folks, to the Bobby Dooley Podcast. I am Bobby Dooley, actually filling in here on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to our good friend Dexter Havens, who's a agent and was a producer. We're going to have to get into some of the conversation with Dexter about his producing days. I thought they were very, very interesting, some of the things that he had to say. We also have with us Margaret Gray, and Margaret's on the line with us from her home in Santa Monica. Margaret, how are you? Margaret, how are you? I didn't hear you.
Good morning, dear. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. And also Dexter Havens is on the line with us. Dexter, you're there, right?
I'm right here, yes.
All right, I wanted to get to Bobby here, to Margaret here for a moment. By the way, every time I call you up, Margaret, you're listening to the same program.
Well, we're big Cops fans in this house, and but that's not Cops. What this is Emergency, Frank, is it?
Whatever.
Yeah, it's a show called Emergency.
Okay, I want to ask you, what do you know about this Sony hack and Amy Pascal's job security?
Well, the word is that Amy Pascal is out. She's out, and that's all there is to that. How long it will take, what form it will take, and what will be said by the studio, how they will position it, how they will justify it, this all remains to be worked out. But it's very hard for anyone to believe that Amy Pascal, even in the light of Sony as a whole, being exploited, being assaulted, and even if you had the goodwill of the American people and the moviegoers of America on your side, everyone, shall we say, closed ranks behind Sony, you still have Amy Pascal damaging these relationships. And so the word is she's out, she's gone. You can use whatever term you want. Dead meat, I heard someone use that. I was talking to Rooster Sedgwick, who is a publicist, sort of a freelance publicist. He used that term, I didn't. Dead meat.
Oh, that is a strong term.
Well, I'm going to find out now about Dexter. Dexter, what do you think about that?
Well, what I think about that, I mean, I've been around this town for a long time, and I also know Rooster Sedgwick. Rooster is a guy with a very interesting history. Rooster used to be he's now one of the top publicists in Los Angeles, but at one time he was a member of an outlaw motorcycle club, so I think he's prone to some hyperbole. However, in this instance, I don't think he is.
No, I think everyone knows that he's not.
No, I don't think I think he is absolutely right. I think she is, I'll go so far as to say that Amy Pascal is roadkill. She is carrion. She is buzzard meat. I'm reminded of a film.
Well, let's not be, celebrating.
I'm not celebrating, Margaret. Believe me, I'm an admirer of Amy Pascal's.
You know, we have very few accomplished women in this business, and Amy Pascal is one of the best.
Well, let me tell you something. Chris Rock described Hollywood as a white industry. There are no white people at the top. I think someone said that Hollywood is like Mount Everest. The higher you go, the whiter it gets. Oh, God, that's good.
Well, okay, we all know Chris. He's very funny. But what are you saying exactly?
I'm saying that Amy Pascal being a female doesn't mean diddly. Amy Pascal being a female doesn't mean anything. When you have a studio that is being rocked by allegations of racist attitude.
I don't understand how racist attitude. All they said was, that President Obama wanted to go see Django Unchained.
Bobby, could we have Steve, if he's going to say something to me or address me, could we have him not fracturing the English language?
Well, I don't think Steve is fracked. Steve, just speak good English, okay?
All I'm saying is, what about a Django Unchained?
What about Django Unchained?
Well, I mean, that you don't think that's funny?
Well, it may be funny, marginally funny at best. No, as a matter of fact, it isn't funny. On the hierarchy of what's funny, that's a lame joke told between two brain-dead executives. Those people know about how to put together a project, how to, put together a budget, select the talent, so on and so forth. But they're not performers, and they certainly are not people that should be telling jokes. And in the cold light of day, as this guy Rudin said, Margaret, I think you know Rudin, right?
I don't know Scott Rudin. No, I think you're the one that said that you've rubbed elbows with him.
Well, I know Scott to be a regular guy. He's a great guy. But, Scott, you should know better. When someone reads an already rotten joke that you've told, now it's out there. It's in print. So you didn't tell it. No one heard the nuance. No one got the timing, which I know when you tell a joke, Scott, I'm hoping you've got timing. I've never heard you tell a joke that was funny, but I'm assuming you know how to tell one. But when you write it down like that and then you see it, you don't see anything. You smell. You start to smell things. That's the one and only time when stuff starts coming up off that page. Yeah. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yes, I know. You're being very you're colorful, as you usually are, Dexter. I would simply say this. I think Scott Rudin's value to the Hollywood community and Amy Pascal's value to the Hollywood community is absolutely without parallel, without equal, without the parallel equal. There's no parallel universe. You know what I'm saying, right, Bobby?
Well, I don't really know what you're saying because I'm not a Hollywood person, but I want to ask you something. When you have an Amy Pascal or a Scott Rudin or like Angelina Jolie, and they're talking, as the boys say, they're talking S-H-I-T, you know?
Yeah, they're talking shit about each other.
That's why I spelled it out, Steve.
Oh, my God. She spelled it out so she didn't have to hear you say it.
Well, I mean, they're... Okay.
When they're talking... Does Angelina Jolie... He said she was a no-talent. Now, how does Angelina Jolie hear that?
Scott, I'll let you go ahead and field that one.
Well, all right, thank you. I'll field it. It's not that hard.
I'm trying to sound like it's a professional interview. God.
Well, it is a professional interview. I'm doing it.
No, I don't mean that it isn't, darling. I'm just trying to do it so it sounds good. If, in the off chance, someone picks this up for a network feed, which I doubt.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm sorry.
All right, can I go?
Yes, go ahead.
What I'm saying is, Angelina Jolie, when you say to her she's a no-talent, no-count, no, just rotten to the core, and she couldn't act her way out of a wet paper bag, and on top of that, she went off and directed her little movie, which, by the way, hasn't gotten too many good reviews. I haven't heard anyone give that an unqualified good review. Now, I don't know about this other film she did in The Land of Milk and Honey, or is that what it's called?
I don't know, but it was something like that. Margaret, do you know?
No, I do not. Your microphone is really shorting up.
I know. We had a meeting about this, and hopefully it'll get fixed.
Hopefully it doesn't get fixed, so you can go another week, and it's going in and out, and Jesus.
Well, what's that about in and out?
I'm not saying anything, Dooley. So why don't you go ahead, and why don't you sit back down and keep unwrapping the lifesavers that you got at the store or whatever has been taking up your time here.
Wow.
All right, so anyway...
So anyway, well, I wasn't talking, you were.
Yes, so I would say that Angelina Jolie has been stung by this series of foul and insulting comments, and I don't think she'll work with Scott Rudin any more than she'd want to work with someone who has a flatulence problem. In other words, let's say you do elevator repair, and the guy they sent in to help you is a vegetarian, and all he blows off all day long is some pretty funky stuff, man. I mean, we're talking squash, we're talking broccoli, we're talking cauliflower. I don't think she'd want to work with anybody like that, and I think she puts that guy in the same category as Scott Rudin.
So, all right, so that means Scott Rudin is done as far as Angelina Jolie is concerned.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. Why would she want to work with Scott Rudin? I think she's given Amy Pascal a pass because Amy Pascal didn't really say those things. I think Rudin's got a lot of fences to mend. Amy Pascal does with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Well, that's the thing. Leonardo DiCaprio was called despicable. So DiCaprio is probably right now thinking that Amy Pascal, he wouldn't go near her any more than he'd go near a glass of rotten, soured milk, you know. I don't think he'd go near a glass of milk anyway, but I don't think he'd go near a glass of sour milk anyway. I don't think he'd go near anything that has to do with dairy. But probably he doesn't drink dairy anyway, so that's probably a bad... I don't think that he...
Well, I think I understand what you're saying.
No, you don't understand what I'm saying. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to avoid Amy Pascal like she is completely covered in bubonic plague. How about that?
All right, I think we understand that, so, you know...
Yeah, there's no need to keep going on about that, okay, Dexter?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Well, I love and respect you, but we get it, okay? I think the bottom line here is that Sony and Amy Pascal and Scott Rudin, all of these people, they've got a lot of thinking to do about their future. Sony will go on. Sony Pictures will go on, and Sony will be the benefactor of goodwill, I think, of the part of the American people. But Amy Pascal and Scott Rudin, these are just two, they're two things lying in the highway waiting for a man with a shovel. I'm Margaret Gray.
Okay, thank you, Margaret, and final word now from our good friend Dexter Havens.
Well, the last word I would say, Bobby, is that this is it's a disaster, and it could have been avoided. It could have been avoided if you had hired some people that had intelligence, that had class, that had vim, vigor, verve,
Vern?
That's not an adjective, that's a guy's name.
Oh.
Well, let's just say vim, vigor, and verve. That's good enough.
Yeah, vim, vigor, verve, and vuva. It needs another one. But I think that Sony will think long and hard in the future. And I think it's time. I think it is time to move an African-American into prominence there at Sony.
Oh, God, come on. That's what everybody, you know, that's so politically correct.
Hey, let me tell you something, Dooley. Get this guy out of here. He mows lawns for a living. Why am I even talking to him?
Well, I think it's important, Dexter, that we hear from all sides. You're saying that Sony needs to wave the white flag of political correct surrender and put an African-American at the top of the studio. Forget about who's qualified. Let's just put a black person there.
Hey, for all we know, a black person is qualified. Maybe they're the most qualified. Maybe they bypassed the most qualified person to put this never-ending succession of females. And that's what Hollywood calls a minority hire. When they put a female at the top of the studio, they call that a minority hire. And what you've got is simply a white female. You've got the typical old boy club, only it has a vagina, okay? That's what I'm saying.
It?
Not it, but she. But the old boy club, we're going to say she's in the old boy club?
Well, you're saying that she is a part of, figuratively, the old boy club.
Yeah, you're saying that, is she a boy?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, and you know I didn't say that. I said it's the old boys club with a vagina.
Well, I don't get it.
Yeah, that's way over the head of everybody.
No, I don't think it's over the head of everybody. I think it's over your head, Steve. Anyway, thank you very much, Bobby. It's been a real treat.
So you're leaving, Dexter, is that it?
Yeah, I gotta get out of here.
All right, Dexter Havens, thank you very much. Thanks for nothing.
Well, I'm sorry, but...
What about that? That's... Dexter Havens, a man that I've always respected and admired because he lives right around the corner from us there at Western Estates with his point of view on the Sony hacking. Steve, your feelings?
Well,
okay, that's good enough, Steve. I mean, that's a good start.
No, but I didn't say nothing.
All right, well...
My feeling is that, you know, I think they should be careful with how they write down things, but I also think it's wrong for them to say, okay, let's just throw the bathwater out on a baby. Or, I mean, not that, but the bathwater...
Throw the bathwater out with the baby. Throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, throw the baby out with a... Jeez. Throw the baby out with a...
Baby.
Throw the baby out with the bathwater. That's what I think they're doing if they fire Amy Pascal. And then they want to hire an African American to be at the head of the studio. I don't understand how that makes things better.
Well, I think in some ways it may make sense, Steve, because having an African American at the head of the studio means, just like Dexter Havens was saying, you know, do you know that I know Dexter Havens, but did you ever really know him?
No, I came to know him through you.
Right. So I make all the Hollywood contacts with our family.
Well, I know that.
Okay, so I think I know a little bit about this. And what Dexter Havens is saying, one of the top talent manager, producer, talent, you know, age, I don't know how you say it, but agent, one of the top agent talent producers, he's saying that they need to quit this sham of hiring women and calling that a minority hire, because Amy Pascal is nothing more than a dude in panties, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're saying that Amy Pascal is simply a guy with a bra on. And I think that that's kind of wrong. I don't know where they get that.
Well, obviously, she's a female, but they're saying in terms of her attitudes, in terms of her social sophistication, she's not very sophisticated, you know? And that's something I heard Phil Hendry say, and I went, oh, wow, that means that we're almost more sophisticated.
What'd he say?
Well, he said that for all of their wealth and all of their, you know, inside the, like having houses in Beverly Hills, they're not sophisticated people because they tell really dumb jokes about how black a guy is, you know?
Yeah, well, they talk about, you know, the Django Unchained and everything.
Right. So, so Amy Pascal, I think, to say that she's nothing more than a guy who gets a period once a month is, I think, a little simplistic, and I think you agree with me on that, Steve.
Yeah, I do. I don't think you're going to say Amy Pascal's just, she's nothing more than Freddie Blassie in a tight sweater. That's kind of, even if it was Freddie Blassie in tight sweater, Freddie Blassie doesn't have boobs.
Right, Freddie Blassie. Who is Freddie Blassie?
Oh, he's a wrestler. You don't know?
No, Steve, I don't know these names, but your point is well taken. So this is the state of affairs here in Hollywood. There was one other thing. The movie is not opening on the 25th. I say again, the movie is not opening on the 25th. To give us some perspective, we've only got a few minutes left here, but I did want to bring on Justin McElroy. Justin is my nephew, and he lives in the San Fernando Valley. Lives up in the... actually, Justin, your family has moved now. Where are you guys living now? I'm sorry, Justin, honey.
If I may.
Yes, go ahead, Gene.
Justin is away from the phone now. Oh, here he comes.
Justin, honey, are you there?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I was just going. I went to get some popsicles.
Where's your family moving now?
Oh, we just moved to Diamond Bar.
Oh, you're in Diamond Bar. Okay, so you're the other side of L.A.
Yeah. Well, we're on the way to. We're just off the 57 in Diamond Bar.
Justin, honey, I know you've been following the interview movie. You really wanted to see it because, as you said in an email to my eldest son, or actually my youngest son, Justin, your namesake, you said it looked really sick, I think is the way you put it. Could you explain that?
Well, when we say sick, we don't mean it's bad.
No, I know that. You mean it's really good.
Yeah, we mean it's really good, and it looked really sick because... I mean, it was really funny looking at the scenes of Kim Sung Jung or Kim Sung Il. He was, or Kim, I think it's Kim Sung Un, is the name of the guy.
Yeah, that's right, Kim Sung Un.
Yeah, well, whatever that fat guy, it looked pretty cool because he looked like an idiot, and they looked like they were, you know, making fun of him and everything. And then they had some scenes where they're trying to get into the country. And they're, like, dancing around. It just looked really cool. And now that we're not going to be able to see it, I think it's just makes this Christmas season, which is already going to be a bummer, you know, for a lot of different reasons, as the irresponsibility of the adults gets worse and worse and worse and worse. We were looking forward to at least something, anything, to enjoy Christmas. And now, you know, forget it.
Well, what do you mean it's, boy, that really hurts.
Yeah, what do you mean the adults get worse?
Well, I mean, not you, Aunt Bobby and Uncle Steve. You guys are with it, and you have really cool parties, and you let us, sample wine and champagne and everything.
We do try to be with it.
Yeah, but I mean, other adults, you know, my parents, your sister, my mother, Blozamine, or I don't even know what my mom's name is.
You call her Blozamine. You have to stop doing that.
All right, but my mom is really lame, and so is my dad, even though he's a really wealthy dentist. You know, my father is just so, like, he's sick in a bad way, and there's never any laughs or kicks at my house. It's always the same, just depressing. You know, my mother walking around wearing her tight. You know, I mean, I don't mean to say it.
I know your mother. I know your mother has a lot of camel toe, and I've been talking to her about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really disgusting. See your own mother, you know, towing it up. So I just feel that, you know, at our house, you know, I'm really hoping that there would be something cool for Christmas. We were looking forward to the interview movie. Now that's not even going to be out neither. So it's really going
to
suck.
Well, you know what? Just try to hang in there, son, and we're going to have some big pool parties this summer.
Yeah, we're looking forward to the big-time pool parties at your house and hanging with my cousins.
All right, Justin. Well, thank you, honey, and thank you for... I knew you'd give a good phone call. I didn't want you to embarrass us by letting out too much stuff.
Well, I mean, I was at your house, and everybody took their...
Did you see what he's trying to do?
Yeah, he tried to embarrass us the last minute, Justin. I heard that. You're going to talk about me pulling, you know...
Well, don't say it.
Well, he's going to talk about me peeling pants off.
You just said it. Why would you say it when I was able to...
Did you dump it?
I didn't dump it, but I pulled the pot down.
That's not the same thing. You know,
may I say, this is Gene Wiffner.
Go ahead, Gene.
Bobby pulling the pot down was enough. We did not get the comment. The only way we got the comment is when Steve said it.
You see how stupid you are?
I'm sorry.
You said, oh, wow, he almost said I'm going to peel my pants off. And, well, I guess I just said it.
Yeah, you just said it again.
All right, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it again. It's been that kind of a show, folks. That kind of a show. But listen, we're so happy and proud that Phil Hendry asked us to fill in on the show. And we do thank every one of you for listening. We thank as well our very good friend, Dexter Havens, who was our guest. We also thank Margaret Gray for being our special guest today as well. Thank you, Justin McElroy, for jumping in. And basically, you know, I thought it would be a nice moment of to have a young man talk. And he comes in.
Yeah, he came in and just cut one. He just cut one that covered the whole event.
Yeah. Go, do it. I'm done.
Oh. The Bobby Dooley Podcast has been sponsored by Go Right Yogurt. Go right every night with Go Right Yogurt or your money back.
Go Right Yogurt. With the purchase of a case, you get a free Bounty towel and Charmin roll.
Go Right with Go Right.
The Bobby Dooley Podcast is executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on the Sideshow Network. Even though this was the Phil Hendry Show, technically...
I didn't know, Aunt Bobby, I didn't know you were going to say that. I'm sitting there talking, you said peel the pants off. Well, I mean, you were trying to hang up on me.
I don't care if I was hanging up on you. I don't care if I was hanging up on you. Don't you ever stab me in the back like that again. I have rescued you from my sister's home. I know she's a slut. I know this. So I've rescued you from that house. You don't have to sit around and look at your own mother's camel toe. All of that, and all we ask is loyalty. And you came on the show. Are we on the air? Oh, for fuck's sake.